blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of this program, joined by the corner contingent right across from me today. Manning the controls is our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery. Leaps tall stacks of birch. Not at all. Just take a saw and cut it. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, the real J Mac, who's often imitated, never duplicated, ladies and gentlemen. And we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. I chuckled because most of you are unlike our current United States government that is shut down as of this morning. It's very interesting. We'll talk a few details about that. It's all very frustrating, frankly, when you have things like this happen. And the reasonings behind it and the way that politics plays the role, and they're supposed to be servants of the people. But really, yeah, people serving their own interest. You know, they're like, yeah, we've heard that song quite a few times. But it's infuriating, which is why my daily encouragement for you to recognize that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House is vitally necessary. What goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on Capitol Hill. Because it is. It truly, truly, truly is. For too long, man, we've allowed the cultural siren song to seduce us into a comfortable negligence. And we fail to realize that our affirmative action and or inaction truly shapes the future of our country. That's just the reality of what it is. So as you're making your transition, set your course, set your mind, set your heart to have a biblical view of what your family is. Notice I didn't say Abe's view or your uncle's view or somebody else's view, a biblical view. What does God say about family? What does God say about your family? What does God say about my family? And allow the reality of the truth of God's word to inform your engagement. Because it's so desperately needed, man. None of us is promised tomorrow. None of us. Jesus told us, the Apostle John recorded it, to work while it is day. To work while it is day. To take full advantage of the time and opportunities that God has afforded us. I'm gripped by the Lord's word, and I'll share a little bit of a conversation I had while I was in Denton, Texas last week that really stirred me, man, because you have all these kind of things, the chicanery that's going on. You know, you have Chuck Schumer, who his whole career hasn't been in favor of government shutdowns by and large, but all of a sudden now he's all for it. And it just so happens to come at a time when, oh, yeah, there's a lot of rumblings in New York that AOC is going to run in a Democratic primary for the United States Senate seat that he holds, attacking him from the regressive left. And now, all of a sudden, he's willing to go to the mat for healthcare subsidies for illegal aliens to try to force Republicans to reestablish funding that they just voted to take away. Like, really? Is that serious? Expanded Obamacare subsidies is what you want to fight over? It's greatly sad. But it is in moments like this that we have to make sure that we are anchored in the Word of God. Psalm 78 is where I'm going to go to start the program today. And if you want to kind of encapsulate this segment, you can do so by describing it as a generational vision. A generational vision. We have an obligation as believers, those of us who are believers, welcome. If you are not a believer, I know there are lots of unbelievers who tune into this program. Welcome. We're glad you're here and tuning in. I pray that your heart will be open to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God drawing you. If you are here, it's not a coincidence, especially during the first segment. Everybody knows Abe is going to open the Bible in the first segment. Everybody knows that. In Psalm 78, we have profound and provocative text for us. Verse 5, Psalm 78, verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I've walked through this text before, but as you see in verse 5, that he commanded our fathers, that's one generation, that they should teach him to their children, a second generation, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, a third generation, that they may arise and tell them to their children, a fourth generation at a minimum, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. In this entire psalm, you have multiple generations that are in view that underscore the reality that what we say and what we do in our lifetimes has the capacity to shape and influence generations. One of the things that the Lord has gripped me to do is to pray that I would be a forebearer for multiplied generations that follow me, multiplied generations, multi-generational faithfulness to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord has blessed me to where now I have children. I think often and I pray often about my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, Lord willing. And I want everybody to be clear, I'm not presuming anything because I know it's the gift of God and the grace of God that's afforded me to have children. There's no guarantee that I will have grandchildren, but grandchildren would be a blessing from the Lord. There's no guarantee I would have great-grandchildren, but great-grandchildren would be a blessing from the Lord. I know that generationality is central to God's heart. He could have very easily created humankind with the earth populated with 8 billion people at an instance, but he chose to begin with one man and one woman, one marital union, one family with the capacity to bear offspring. And that one unit became the progenitors of all of mankind. May I encourage you, may I challenge you to begin to welcome the Lord to give you a generational vision for your families. I had the privilege while I was in Denton to have a conversation with a brother and his wife. His brother happens to be on the board with HSLDA with me. Man, I was just getting to know him a little more and listening to his testimony as how he was the beneficiary of his parents making a commitment to disciple him and his siblings in the home. He enjoyed that from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. The Lord led him to go to college thereafter. He became a businessman and entrepreneur thereafter. One of the pinnacle moments in his life is when his father called for a family meeting and met with him and shared how that he had been praying for his wife, how the father had been praying for the son's wife, and encouraged the son to begin to look for a wife because he's at the life stage where this was something that he should consider. At this juncture, this I won't go into all the details, but previously the brother was content in his unmarried state, pursuing the Lord, the Lord's will for his life, sharpening himself, his vision being prepared. And then soon after meeting with his father, God gave him a desire for a wife. So he started praying for a wife. Things unfolded. Bottom line, this brother ended up, pursuing a young woman who had shown herself to be remarkable to him early in his life. God blessed him to marry this young woman. Today they have 8 children together. When he talked about how before that, he is aware that his father used to pray that the Lord would bless him with seven generations after him of faithful Christ followers, that his offspring and his offspring's offspring thereafter, they will be faithful disciples in their homes, through their homes. He shared how his grandparents' influence and preparation for them contributed to their material development for a family, creating a home and things of that nature, how he is serving as a deacon in the church that his grandfather was a part of planting. And man, as his brother's talking, my eyes are filling with tears, man. Welling up with tears. Looking at tangible evidence of things that I have not seen in my own personal vicinity. But it's things that God had put in my heart. And I'm seeing tangible evidence of it being a possibility. And then the brother turned to me, you know, and he's smiling. He's smiling and he said, you know, after I met and married my wife, my dad started saying he upped his prayer from seven generations to 10 generations. Oh, man. You should have, my wife was with me at that in this conversation. Man, we're rejoicing together and weeping. And we talked about that conversation for the remainder of our trip. The time has come, brothers and sisters, for us to have new vision. God-breathed vision, biblically anchored vision. Of course, I know. Y'all have heard me say this. There is no guarantee that my commitment and my investment in my children will automatically result in them being faithful Christ followers. But can I tell you something? What do you think the likelihood is? Is it more likely than not that if I endeavor to serve faithfully, that that will have an influence on my children coming to know Christ? I'm grateful to date that I can testify that five of the six of our children are Christ followers that bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I say five out of the six because the youngest one, still three. Oh, but that boy is something, let me tell you. Now, I'm not saying my children are perfect, no way. But we see evidence of their regeneration. I want to encourage the members of this audience, man, to amplify your vision. Some of you may be like this brother who's becoming a friend to me, that he's a second, third generation Christ follower. Some of you may be closer to where I am, starting some things. But God is sovereign over how we got to where we are right now. The question is, what will we do with what God has provided for us at this juncture? Some of you are listening to me that there are some things that have been repeated throughout your family's history that it is to die with you. Some of the things that you've even suffered, that by God's grace, you can stand and say, but no more, no more. Those who came before me, they didn't know the Lord. They may not have had a relationship with the Lord. They may not have had the biblical clarity that you have. But now that you have what you have and you see what you see, that the Lord is establishing a new lineage through you, may I challenge you to amplify your vision, even starting first and foremost with your prayer that the Lord may make you a foundation for multiple generations that follow you to know the Lord and the glorious, majestic privilege of living a life fully surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to where your family line is not riddled with the sinfulness of selfish ambition, but would enjoy the glorious posture and the glorious perch of being fully devoted to the Lord's purposes in your time. That the talents and gifts that he's given, that your offspring would be committed to rendering that back to him in faithfulness. Many of you are listening and watching. God has delivered you from all kinds of things. Don't you think for one second that that freedom and deliverance is solely for you, but that you recognize that through you, God wants to chart a course and using you to blaze a trail that those who come behind you, they won't have to till the soil again because now you have rows that have already been tilled. And now their time is merely to plant the seed. And then the ones that come after them, they'll be in a position to harvest. And each generation will increase in quantity and potency in their faithfulness of following the King.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace found in your word. And thank you for the anointing that rests upon your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is you. And as we spend time in your word, we're spending time with you as you speak words of counsel, wisdom, power, blessing, and grace into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Having biblically anchored, God-centered vision will empower you to navigate the torrential terrain of this fallen world that we live in. It truly, truly, truly does, man. It truly, truly does. To have you to resist the inclination to feel as if you're kind of drowning in the morass of the darkness that's so prevalent. Because in the midst of this, man, God gives so much, so many points and blessings for us to rejoice in, to glory in. Now to the foolishness. As I mentioned in the first segment, after a rejection by the Democrats largely to pass the legislation that was first passed in the House of Representatives. So the shutdown is focused in the Senate, led by Chuck Schumer. Republicans only need 7 Democrats to join them to pass the measure, to get past the extra-constitutional filibuster. And I say extra-constitutional because a filibuster is not in the U.S. Constitution. It's found in the Senate rules, which the senators can change at any time with a simple majority of votes. But they don't, unless they want to. You know, like Harry Reid led to changing the filibuster rules for federal judicial nominees other than the U.S. Supreme Court. Then Mitch McConnell led to a vote to change the filibuster rules as it pertained to Supreme Court nominees. This is what I'm talking about when you say these things are frustrating. So you're going to have the entire government shut down because of a Senate rule. So I told you yesterday that the main issue in this whole budget debate is over the expansion of Obamacare subsidies that took place under Biden. The Democrats want to keep these subsidies and make them permanent, which would include, and I'm explaining how it would include, providing taxpayer-funded benefits to illegal aliens, which for the longest, the Democrats said, no, that's not in what we proposed. And now that the shutdown is happening, as you got closer to it, you even have one like Representative Ro Khanna admitting, we did have funding for illegal aliens in it, but that's not the bulk of the funding, you see. It's such a small part of what we're talking about. Really? So you jokers went from saying it wasn't a part to now saying it's a small part. I'm gonna give you the evidence for it. Vice President J.D. Vance and others, if you follow me on the artist formerly known as Twitter, you've seen some of these things as I've shared them. I've shared House Speaker Mike Johnson's description in a CNN interview exactly how the Democrats are demanding funding for illegal aliens. Vice President J.D. Vance was asked about this, and he explained it very succinctly in less than or at about a minute and a half. Listen to Vice President J.D. Vance explains that nobody is making this up. You jokers had legislation, a proposed bill to say, hey, we'll agree to reopen the government if you include funding for illegal aliens in the measure. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip one, go.
This is a Democrat talking point. They say we're not actually trying to give health care benefits to illegal aliens. And here's why it's not true. There are 2 Biden era programs that explicitly gave the taxpayer health care money to illegal aliens that we turned off when President Trump took over in January. Program number one is there's a lot of emergency health care at hospitals that are provided to illegal aliens. That was funded by the federal government. We turned off that funding because, of course, we want American citizens to benefit from those hospital services, not to be taxed and then to have those hospital services go to illegal aliens. The second of which is the Biden administration gave mass parole to millions upon millions of illegal aliens, and then they simultaneously made those parolees eligible for health care benefits funded by taxpayers. In the One Big Beautiful Bill, President Trump and congressional Republicans turned off that money to health care funding for illegal aliens. The Democrats want to turn it back on. And in their initial proposal, the first thing that they put out to reopen the government, they actually turned that money for health care benefits for illegal aliens back on. So it's not something that we made up. It's not a talking point. It is in the text of the bill that they initially gave to us to reopen the government. It's preposterous for them to run away from it now. But look, let's set that all to the side. Let's open up the government. Let's negotiate on all of these health care policy issues. Obviously, we're not going to support health care benefits for illegal aliens, but we will work with them to lower health care costs for American citizens if they're willing to do so.
Duh. I mean, this is kind of stuff that makes me so angry, man, that these people continually, and I'm going to be clear, when I say these people, I'm talking about these elected officials and their comrades in our lying media, because they think the American people are stupid. So in a protracted interview on CNN, Caitlin Collins is interviewing Speaker Mike Johnson, is saying, no, the Democrats want to expand money for people that are here legally, you know, like asylum seekers. Okay. So by asylum seekers, you mean everybody who just came into the country illegally under Joe Biden? Like, y'all ain't slick, man. You heard Vice President Vance say that the Biden administration made all of these people parolees. Remember the folks that came in through the CBP app, you know, before the Trump administration came in and say, this is how you can voluntarily self-deport. You know, all of these people that came in, some flew in because they didn't want to come through on the ground anymore. They were granted parolee designation. That doesn't make you a legal migrant in our country. And then Caitlin Collins went on to say, well, that it wasn't even in the text of the bill. There was no affirmative. There was no line in the Democrats' bill that said they wanted to fund illegal aliens. And Speaker Johnson said, you think I'm stupid? He didn't say that. I'm saying this is the Abe Standard Version translation of what he said. He said, you think I'm stupid? What the Democrats proposed in their funding measure was a repeal of all of the protections and all of the cutting of funding that was passed in the One Big Beautiful Bill, including, and this is how Speaker Johnson explained it, that the Democrats' bill would have repealed the working families tax cut policies from the One Big Beautiful Bill that eliminated waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicaid, including all of the Republican passed protections against taxpayer-funded health care benefits going to illegal aliens. That was all in the One Big Beautiful Bill. So what the Democrats are proposing, they didn't put in the line and add another $500 billion for illegal aliens. What they're proposing is repealing what the Republicans just passed in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You think we can't read? This is so upsetting. So you have all these people running with these talking points, you know. I have family members that listen to and watch these lying networks. They say, Abe, can you show me where in the bill that the Democrats propose that they're giving? I say, well, guys, it's in the measures when they're saying repeal the working families tax cut policies from the One Big Beautiful Bill that also excluded funding for illegal immigrants. Well, isn't it already illegal for illegal immigrants to get taxpayer-funded money? Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why it's illegal. Because in current law, you have the affirmation of that principle. But what happens if you repeal that principle? You don't have to ask me about it. I'll let you listen to Representative Ro Khanna from California, a Democrat from California. After all of these weeks of saying, Democrats don't want to give funding to illegal aliens, listen to what Ro Khanna just admitted on television. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two, go.
In terms of health care, the reality is they're just not being honest. The amount of money that actually is going towards people who are undocumented is such a small portion of the Medicaid cuts or the Affordable Care Act, if at all. And so we can argue that point, but the reality that even the vice president would acknowledge, that anyone who looks at the numbers will acknowledge, is 90 to 95% of the funding we're talking about is talking about funding for American citizens.
Now, I want
in
you to—
In terms of
you
healthcare—
can stop it. You can pause it. Notice the sleight of hand. All of these weeks, what were they saying? Nuh-uh, there's no funding in the Democrats' proposals for illegal aliens. Nuh-uh, that's, you lying, Craig, you lying. You ain't never. No, you lying. And now Ro Khanna says, well, the funding is so small. It's so insignificant. Why does it even matter? I mean, hey, what if it's just a small percentage of what we're trying to get passed to reestablish? It's just a small portion. Now, which one is it? And this is why Congress has consistently low ratings, why people are disenfranchised when it comes time for government, because you have this lying sleight of hand that happens over and over and over and over again. These dudes went literally in a moment's notice. There's no funding. There's no funding. There's no funding. Then the about face talking point now becomes, oh, it's a little bit of funding. It's only a little bit of funding. It's only a little bit of funding. So which one is it? Is it none or is it a little bit? Kind of reminds me of the voting fraud conversation. There's no, what is it, statistically significant? Oh man, this is just rich. This is rich on a moment's note. And then they hit that about face as if nobody will notice. Nope, nobody's gonna notice that you've gone from saying there's none to saying it's a little bit. I played for you the clip yesterday when Maxine Waters, did we play that yesterday? When Maxine Waters said, well, yeah, we're looking for healthcare funding for everybody. Everybody. That was one she let out too soon. So once Maxine. Once Maxine let that out, they got to say, I guess we got to admit it. Yeah, it is in there. It is in there. You know, I really don't enjoy reading this stuff. You know, because I want to go and I want to understand it. I don't enjoy reading this stuff. But you're saying, so, and I'm telling you, some of you guys even sent messages to me after the show yesterday. It's like, hey, that's what it's about? They're going to shut down the government over the expansion of Obamacare subsidies? That's it? Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's some other details. You know, they also want to restore funding to the community for public broadcasting. You know, that provides money to NPR and PBS, and they want to restore climate change and DEI funding for foreign nations. Not for our nation, you see, but other nations. But all of that is downstream from the Obamacare subsidies. And they're willing to shut down the government for that. So what's really going on? Well, some, as I alluded to earlier, are saying this really doesn't have nothing to do with any of that. There's Chuck Schumer's last time, 13 times actually to be specific, when there were discussions about a potential government shutdown, and Chuck Schumer opposed every single one of them. You'll find what was happening then is that there was no prospect of a primary challenger to Chuck Schumer. And when he agreed to keep the government open, he faced criticism from regressives attacking him from the left, saying, you're compromising too much with the Republicans, you're compromising too much. And now the scuttlebutt on Capitol Hill is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is planning to challenge Chuck Schumer in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate seat. And so now Chuck Schumer is looking to prove, yes, I'm just as radical as Alexandria. I'm just as radical as the bartender from Queens. That's where she's from. Is that it, Abe? Guys, I wish I could tell you better. Now, while that's happening, the Trump administration has said, okay, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. We already wanted a reason to trim the fat in the federal government anyway. So what then happens is that the president has the authority to determine what is not an essential worker. You know, it reminds me of I'm giving my age here. When I was young, remember the cartoons had a little skunk was saying, is you ain't my baby. the Trump administration now get to say, oh, so y'all shutting down. Okay, so you either fund the government according to reasonable lines with the temporary CR so we can get to the 12 appropriations bill, which 12 appropriations bills, I would love to see that happen. It hasn't happened in a very long time. We've been functioning with continuing resolutions for quite some time. Okay. But if you're going to shut down the government, then we'll take advantage of our opportunity to determine who is and who is not essential. So in light of the government shutdown, Russell Vogt, the director for the Office of Management and Budget, has been discussing with the Trump administration the potential slashing of the federal government's staff in various agencies. The Trump administration has said, well, we're looking to terminate some of these federal positions in light of the government shutdown. And this is a circumstance where it kind of will be, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. But people like me who want a leaner, smaller federal government, is some of the things that we voted for. Say, well, we'll take advantage of this time to determine who is and who isn't a federal worker. Now, on the one hand, as a husband and a father, I never rejoice over people losing their jobs. But I will say, as a taxpayer, which ultimately means these people are our employees, I certainly don't want people getting paid to do nothing. You know? So the Trump administration has said, since you all are shutting down the government, we have the wherewithal to determine who is and who is not an essential worker. We're going to take advantage of this opportunity to trim the size and scope of the federal government. Since we are formally in a shutdown, Russell Vogt has sent notice to the Trump administration that you should expect to hear about a broad swath of layoffs. This follows the nearly over 100,000 federal employees whose jobs have now come to an end because they took the buyout that was offered by the Trump administration that became effective yesterday for many federal workers. And Russell Vogt is saying that we're looking to trim the federal bureaucracy even the more. So since you want to shut it down, we'll take a doge to the shutdown and see what we look like on the other side. So this is where we are. As I am talking to you right now, the senators have left the Hill for today. There will be no further discussions about the government shutdown today. And the Trump administration is saying, you want to play stupid games, then we win stupid prizes. Federal workforce shall be trimmed. More when we come back from this break.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at afr.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at afr.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Well, things continue. The foolishness continues. So apparently Elon Musk has now been brought up to speed on just how dead set folks at Netflix are against the formation of our families and the effort to rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because he got wind of a children's program that ran for two seasons dating back to 2022. Now the show is still on Netflix, they haven't aired new seasons of it. And this show I'm talking about is called Dead End Paranormal. Let me give the right name. Yeah, Dead End Paranormal Park. It's a show that was aimed at 7-year-olds, children 7 and up. There's another show. Well, let me finish the Dead End Paranormal. Well, in the Dead End Paranormal Park show, the main character. What do y'all think? Do I even need to say it? Do I even need to say it? I'll start giving you the main character had blue hair and was transgender in the cartoon. This was brought to Elon Musk's attention. If you know anything about Elon Musk, you know one of his children, one of his sons, in fact, became transgender, which he said that my son is dead. They call me, if I were to call my son by the name that we named him, that would be dead naming him. So my son is dead and saying that he's a little girl now. That's what he said. So that actually was one of the main issues that had him begin to campaign for President Trump was the whole transgender issue. So Musk is calling for people to get rid of Netflix. I'm like, well, welcome to the party, Elon Musk. Because I can tell you, it's been stuff on Netflix for quite some time. You know, and I know that there's smut all over the place. It's true. There's another show that has, you know, transgender cartoon characters called Ridley Jones, where you have, you know, Fred, the non-binary cow. These are cartoons for children. Yeah, Fred, the non-binary cow, was perplexed because he had to go back home and he was wrestling whether or not to give his new name and demand that his family call him by his new pronouns. Yeah, Marta, a non-binary cow seeking to persuade the children. I got a short clip of old Dead End. What I said the name of that thing was? Dead End Paranormal Park. Dead End Paranormal Park. This is a short clip, about 35, 40 seconds or so. Here you go. Clip number three. Clip three, go.
It's not the park. It's me. I'm trans, Norma. And everyone at school knows, and everyone at home knows. And being here, it's like a whole new place. I can just be Barney, and I can choose if and when I tell people. I've never been happier. And that's saying something when I spent today chased by terrifying zombie mascots. Pugsley reminded me how important it is to live your life without apology. So I think I gotta give living here a shot, don't you?
You don't need my permission. I just wouldn't want Courtney as a roommate.
You see how they animated to make it all appealing and enticing for little children and all of these things. Well, I mean, I'm like, well, welcome to the party, Elon Musk, because these people have long been committed to this. And, you know, I appreciate the things that President Trump is trying to do at the governmental level. But anybody who said, like, the effort to, you know, to wokeify the nation is dead and done, you are grossly mistaken. You know, I already told you about, you know, Jay-Z picking, you know, Bad Bunny to do the Super Bowl halftime show, because some people may not know this, but the NFL has an exclusive contract with Jay-Z. He picks who performs at the NFL halftime shows. Bad Bunny, and, you know, he's Puerto Rican. Most of his music is in Spanish, if you can call it music. But it's, as you would expect it, it's pornographied. It is nasty. It is demonic. I mean, and this, you know, my wife keeps me on game in the Spanish-speaking world. That's how I know. I knew about Bad Bunny before. And people are saying Bad Bunny is the most streamed artist in the world right now. Even more streamed than Taylor Swift. Now, I could be wrong about this, Sir Sparks. But I understand the NFL is trying to get an international fan base for football. But in most of the world, they don't call football football. The majority of the people who watch the Super Bowl are still right here in the United States of America. You want to explain to me, man, why we have an artist who sings primarily in Spanish? Because you got the people that listen to his music. They expect him to speak to do his thing in Spanish. But you got the majority of the Super Bowl audience, they're English speakers. Somebody fix that for me. Now, this dude, Bad Bunny, likes to perform in dresses, dresses up like a woman, has all kind of demonic stuff on display at his concerts and all this kind of stuff. One thing you got to recognize, man, that this is spiritual warfare, and the devil ain't never satisfied. Did I already mention that that Dead End Paranormal Park show was targeted at 7-year-olds? Did I already say that? I know I said it already, but I just want to reiterate it. 7-year-olds. 7-year-olds. Do you all listening to the show remember you were 7? Do you recall in your lexicon having the word transgender to be a word that just rolled off the tongue when you were 7 years old? I appreciate Elon Musk's attention to this issue, but a lot of people have been done with Netflix for years before now. And I get it. You know, they may have some decent movies here and there, but for me, I'm not telling you to do what you want to do, but I'm not interested in using my money to fund people who are dead set against my worldview. Now, I know there are lots of others who are dead set against my worldview. I get that. And I'm not trying to tell you what you need to do in your home. But once I realize you coming for my children, I'm not interested in helping you fund your efforts to come for my children. That's all I'm saying. And I'm going to just pull this next one just from the files of surely this doesn't happen in America. Does it? In the state of Maine, in the next few weeks, they have an election in the state of Maine. And one of the issues on the ballot in Maine is a citizens referendum concerning voter ID. You know, the thing the Democrats say that people who look like me, you know, we don't know how to get IDs, by the way. You know, we don't know how to do that. You want to talk about prejudice, partiality on display, sinful partiality. Goodness gracious. So they have a referendum coming up. One of the ballot items is going to be a voter ID issue. And, you know, you had a citizen in the state of Maine, you know, just going about life, ordering some stuff, you know, pull out the Amazon app and order some stuff on Amazon. And boop, what do you know? When the Amazon box arrived at the house, what did they find? Oh, 250 ballots for the upcoming election. Want to hear a little bit more about it? There's no video for this one, but listen to the audio from the state of Maine, because police are now investigating how did 250 ballots for the upcoming election show up in an Amazon package at a Maine resident's home. Listen to clip number 4.
Police are investigating allegations of election ballots arriving in an Amazon package that were sent to a Newburgh home. The Maine Secretary of State's office released a statement saying, in part, "We are aware of the serious allegations that packages of ballots were received by a private citizen. Law enforcement is investigating the matter." House Republican leader Billy Bob Falkingham released a statement which reads, in part, "The discovery of hundreds of authentic state ballots in a private Amazon delivery is beyond alarming." He went on to say Mainers deserve answers, accountability, and immediate action.
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead and keep the picture of the ballots on the screen for me, would you? The Maine resident, they don't want to say their names publicly, but they got their box. You had 5 stacks. If you're watching the show, and I'm going to describe this for our audience who's just listening, if you look at the picture, first, the one to the right, there were 5 stacks of 50 ballots bundled together. Five stacks of 50 ballots. You look at the picture all the way to the left, you see that it's for the referendum election, November 4th, 2025. All counties except Somerset and Washington. Maybe I'm wrong here, which I don't think I am. Were some people preparing for the November 4th election? sending ballots in the mail? if you have a referendum in a local election, just how many ballots does it take? Remember the Tootsie Pop commercials? How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Pop Center? How many ballots does it take to get to the influencing the election? And this stuff just continues to happen. Yet the others would say, no, this isn't happening. You can take the image down, Jeff. Some are saying that this doesn't happen, but this is in a local election in Maine. Nothing to see here. How many? This is just so sad. So you just have a box, an Amazon box, that shows up at this person's house, and it just has 250 ballots for the upcoming election. This is October 1st. Today's October 1st. So their November 4th election, a couple weeks away. Yet the ballots just showed up. You continue to have circumstances just like this happening over and over again in different places all over the country. Which is why I said it from the very beginning. When you had, you know, George Stephanopoulos to pivot on a dime from saying there were no illegalities, no fraudulent things concerning the 2020 election. And they said there were no outcome determinative fraudulent things. So not outcome determinative. So you're admitting that there are some instances of fraud. And I told you the way to describe it were election irregularities, violation of state election laws, violations of the U.S. Constitution concerning the election. You didn't have to describe it in any other way. And any American should be concerned. Okay, well, if we have any irregularities and any anomalies, aren't we all invested in making sure we have free and fair elections? Aren't we all invested? Shouldn't we all be? But come to find out that we're not all invested. So, dude was going to just pick up his Amazon package. Opens the box, 250 ballots for the upcoming election, just in the box at his house. These are the things that happen over and over again in various places. But what ends up happening is that there's some who want us to separate these instances and not connect them to other things that have transpired. Oh, this is just an isolated incident over here. This is just an isolated incident over here. This is just an isolated incident over here. Really, is it? And now, if it is, I want to tell you, I hope it would just be an isolated incident. I don't want there to be massive fraud repeatedly. But shouldn't we check? That's all I'm saying. Shouldn't we examine? Shouldn't we seek to find out just how extensive this is? And if they found this 250 ballots in the mail for the upcoming November 4th, 2025 election, I wonder how many more were sent around in the state of Maine. I wonder how many more. It's a very, 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 very peculiar development. Nevertheless, as I began the show with, and this helps me really to navigate the craziness of our day. As the scripture says, to set our minds on things that are above. A generational vision for our families. Something the scripture explains very beautifully. And we have the capacity and the opportunity to be a part of that starting right in our own homes. What goes on in your house is more important than what's going on in the White House and than what's going on Capitol Hill.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.